Greetings, chumps.
Why would your grandparents invite Biff Tannen? He's a jerk with a bad sense of humor.
Look who's talking. Tannen, get off my land.
You mean my land, don't you, old-timer?
Well, it seems that,
What the sheriff is trying to say is that this deed, dated 1875, proclaims my great-great-granduncle Thaddeus Tannen as sole owner of this property.
Wow, he must be old.
And in an act of community goodwill, I am turning this ranch into a toxic waste dump and miniature golf course on account of my kid Biff Jr. likes miniature golf.
I hate miniature golf.
To the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. Cause there's still things to explore in Marchie McFly 4. It's Marchie McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's March 20th, which means it's the 20th day of the fourth year of Marchie McFly. And I'm back again. I'm coming at you early today. I'm actually recording before work today as we talk about the next episode in the Back to the Future animated series. But before we get there, honestly, I don't have really much to add since the last time I talked to you. I think I hit record about 9 o'clock last night, finished up everything, got everything up a little after 10, read a little, and then fell asleep, woke up. My wife wasn't feeling too good today. Her back was bothering her, so she ended up staying home from work, which kind of in the morning means I have nothing to do. So I made a little breakfast, and I said, you know what? I have extra time. Let's watch a little Back to the Future this morning and get this episode out early for everyone. And then tonight, I don't know, give me some free time to, probably watch more Back to the Future. Probably watch Back to the Future for my other podcast, Fine Movies, Fine Spirits, because tomorrow night we'll be recording an episode on the classic original Back to the Future film. But I'm not going to waste any more of your time because your time is precious and I really have nothing else to say. Let's get right into talking about this next episode.
Oh,
So today we are talking about the third episode of the second season, the 16th episode overall, A Friend Indeed. But not indeed, in deed. Real, two separate words. So the deed, like a deed to something. So, and when I first read it, I thought it said A Friend Indeed. And I read it quick because it was on the screen, very small. I'm not saying my reading comprehension, you already know from the comic book episodes, my reading comprehension is spotty at best. But really quick, I thought, oh, is this a zombie episode? Then I saw it was Indeed. And I said, okay, well, you know, all right. It originally aired October 3rd, 1992. It was written by Sean Derrick, John Loy, and John Ludden. So we got some of the Johns. But there is I want to say this is a new name, Sean Derrick. I'm not familiar with his name. You know what? I have time. Let's look him up. Sean Derrick on the old IMDb. Is this the right guy? Yes. He worked on Batman, the animated series. Never mind. She is a writer, producer known for Batman, the animated series, Mortal Kombat, and the Smurfs. Oh, and she also was a co-writer on this episode. She's done a ton of animation. I'm assuming it's her, right? I mean, how many, there's no way there's two Sean Derricks who spell their name Sean the exact same way and do a ton of animation. I don't see Back to the Future listed here, maybe under additional crew. Look, it has to be her. Edit. You know what it is? People like haven't gone through these episodes in IMDb. And I feel like giving them the proper credit because I don't see it listed on her IMDb. When you go to the episode, the IMDb for this specific episode, it says writing credits, Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis, creator. There's no time taken to talk about, and director Bob Gale. I'm sorry. I said maybe Bob Gale's directing all these episodes. He did not direct this episode based on the credits. I'm going on the credits of the episode. Bob Gale did direct the live action version, so he is a director on this episode, but he did not direct the animated part, which was directed by John Hayes, another one of the Johns. But the writers aren't even listed on IMDb at all. Sean Derrick and John Loy and John Ludden. And it's written in that way where John Loy and John Ludden seem like they're a writing team, the Johns. And Sean Derrick is her own entity. And in the episode, in IMDb, it's Sean, Catherine Derrick. And who knows? Let's be honest. There may be some people who say, you know what? I've done a lot of animation. I worked as a story editor for 76 episodes of The Smurfs. I was a story editor for 27 episodes of Biker Mice from Mars. I have written 11 episodes of Mortal Kombat, 6 episodes of Kong the Animated Series, 33 episodes of Dork Hunters from Outer Space, not to mention 11 episodes of Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures. And I mean, she's written Lego things. She's done a ton of stuff. Maybe she doesn't want this on her IMDb. I'm not putting that past, you know, that being a possibility. The people are like, you know what? Let's not have this on my internet movie database. Not that there's anything wrong. In fact, this episode is a nice step up from the last one. The last one really bugged me. This one, you know, again, not high-hearted by any chance, any means, but it still was, this one was more fun. And I think I realized what the issue is, or one of the issues. I like when they use the time travel in the series as a plot device. Like there's a reason for the time travel. They have to do something, or something happens and they have to fix something. An accidentally one person time travels back in time and the other one has to fix it. Whereas the last episode, it was accidental time travel because that Mr. Wisdom stole the time machine, and then they chased him. There was no real time travel purpose. And I feel like the same thing kind of happened in the other episode that I really disliked, the one where Doc retired. He time traveled for 2 seconds to go try to teach the cavemen, but there was no real reason for it. It wasn't part of the story. Why am I talking like this? I don't know. So let's get into this episode. As I said, Sean Derrick and John Loy, John Luden, and it was directed by one of the other Johns. It was a John Hayes. And this episode originally aired October 3rd, 1992. So I'm in my junior year. I think at this point, I'd be either just kind of hanging out at my house or going to my friend's house for the afternoon. My friend might have already moved. I'll have to ask him. 92, I think his mom and stepdad already moved. Because I may have talked about this before, but there's a real Brady Bunch vibe with some of my friends. The house, when I grew up, I lived in this house for 19 years. The house in front of me was a divorced dad with 3 boys. I mean, we're talking the Brady Bunch. The house behind me was a divorced mom with 2 boys and 2 girls. At a certain point, one day, I saw the divorced mom and divorced dad hanging out. I was like, wait, what's going on? Next thing you know, they're in love. They get married. Some of the kids are old enough that they're living on their own at this point. But my friend and his sister end up moving in across the street with me with the 3 boys, even though they're a little old, so they're barely around. Then they all moved across town. I say across town, like 2.5 miles away. When I was a kid, I was like, oh my God, that's so far away. But at this point, we all had our licenses and we could drive. So at this point, I'm driving. I'm going to visit. I'm working too. I'm working at Flix Video. I am driving over to my friend's house, some days. But some days I just have to come home. So that's 1992 for me. But this Brady Bunch family, still very much Brady Bunch today. And two of the boy from one family and the boy from the other family are my co-hosts on Fine Movies, Fine Spirits. It all comes back together. Yes, it's all one big happy family. And I was literally the house in the middle. What was I talking about? Oh, yes. Back to the Future, 1992. See, this is the stuff I should have talked about before I said, let's start talking about this episode, but it happens. This episode is very Biff heavy, and I am happy because we've had barely any Biff. We've had a lot of Tannins and a lot of Tom Wilson being Tannin. And I think last week we had Tom Wilson, or yesterday we had Tom Wilson being Mr. Wisdom, but we haven't had a lot of just Biff Tannin. And I'm also happy because I believe we are meeting for the first time Griff Tannin's dad. I'm pretty sure about that. So this episode opens up, as they always do, with Christopher Lloyd live action. It seems like at least the last couple episodes, and I wonder if they do this all season, Doc is outside of he's not in the workshop anymore. He's, with some green screen. They must have really bought a really nice green screen, and now he's at the beach. The sand that he's on seems very real, but the ocean behind him seems not there. And he's there with a metal detector, and he's searching for change. He's found 85 cents worth of change, which is great. He spent hundreds of dollars on equipment to find 85 cents of change, and he's 85 cents in change, and he's like, great. Awesome. This reminds me of something else, buried treasure or whatever. Oh, he accidentally finds a hand buried, but it's a guy who's just buried. He's alive. He's just, his kids buried him. This reminds me of something else buried, a buried treasure, not a treasure, but something buried. And we jump over to the cartoon and we jump to Biff Tannen's house. Yes, Biff Tannin. Not any other Tannin, but Biff Tannin. And who's with him? He goes in his backyard. Biff Jr. He's wearing a skull t-shirt, very reminiscent of the skull t-shirt the kid wore in Toy Story. But this came first. I don't know if this is supposed to be almost like a Punisher t-shirt, but it almost looks like it's either a skull or a tiny little octopus with 3 legs. So a Tritopus? That sounds dirty. So Biff's in his backyard. He has all this digging equipment. He's upset because one of his neighbors has a has a swimming pool, and now he wants a swimming pool as well. So they're going to dig a swimming pool. Of course, when you want a pool, you dig it yourself. And so he starts digging, or actually he's going to make his son dig. And right away, the first thing his son digs up is this piece of paper. What's this? It's a deed, a deed to some land. And he's very excited about it. A big smile on his face. We cut over to the big Parker Ranch. Parker, you say? Yes, Jennifer Parker. It turns out, I don't know if she lives there, but it turns out everybody has a farm in Hill Valley. It's all farmland. Because the Parkers have this giant ranch, this giant farm, and it's Jennifer's grandparents, because it's not the dad we see. Remember, he's like, Jennifer, come along. He's in the car. That guy doesn't look like he works on a farm, but it seems like her grandparents do. And I don't know if she lives with her grandparents, but there's no parents here. They're having dinner with the grandparents. The grandparents don't really like what Marty's up to, because Marty's doing practical jokes like he's 3 years old. He has, the grandmother sits on a whoopee cushion. He wants to give him some trick gum, like he very much like Pee Wee. And Marty's kind of a jerk about it. He's like, what do you mean? You don't, with his Chicago accent, he's like, you don't like it. You don't like the, maybe there needs to be a little more whoopee around here, which again, a little weird. All of a sudden the cops show up with Biff Tannen, and it turns out Biff has a signed deed from Wendell Parker to Thaddeus Tannen back in 1875. The deed claims that that land, that Parker land, is actually Tannen land. Why has it been in the Parker family all this time? Why was it buried? Well, that we need to find out. We need to watch this episode. Those actual questions are being answered. I can't believe I can say it. But yes, there's actual thought put into this one. And I'm going to give all that credit to anything that makes sense and logical. I'm going to give credit to Sean Derrick in this one, because the other writers, they've been around. I'm not trying to put them down, but that the fact that what I just had a question myself, and I go, wait a second, they actually do answer that. Why was it buried, and why did it take so long? He's all, you know, ready to literally, I'm here with the deed, and I'm here with the sheriff, and I'm here with the wrecking crew. We're going to knock this down. We're going to turn this into a mini golf course and a toxic waste dump. Perfect, perfect villain place. You want to make a toxic waste dump. Very late 80s, early 90s villainy. So the bulldozer starts going, and the cop's like, sorry, ma'am, there's nothing I can really do about it. And Jennifer's like, Marty, you have to. But Marty takes off. Marty takes off on his hoverboard. Again, no one there questions the fact that this boy in 1992 has a flying skateboard, but that's a different story. Jennifer's like, oh, Marty McFly, you're worse than a chicken. And the chicken, one of the chickens on the ranch, looks at her like, hey, lady, what did I do? And walks off in a huff. We go over to the Brown family, and we don't see Doc or Clara in this episode at all. Never mind, they're not part of the story. We don't even see them. Jules and Vern have been left alone. Now, these kids aren't that old, but they are left alone. Jules is making pancakes using this giant machine, because he can't just make pancakes himself. He's got to make everything complicated with inventions. Marty shows up, and he's like, I need the DeLorean. They're like, sorry, Mom and Dad took it to go to see some play, an original Shakespeare. They went back to original Shakespeare times to see a Shakespeare play. That, I feel like, is a gross misuse of time travel, but in this version, if you can do it without causing a ruckus and without making any ripples in the time, space-time continuum, that seems like great. The fact that they can do it with Mr. Fusion now, they can time travel willy-nilly. So he's like, well, then let's get the train. They go, okay. So they all go off together, fly back to the 1875, go right to the Parker Ranch, and they meet this Parker guy. Is that okay? So this is 1875. So let's say their kids are born around 1875. And then that means the next set would be born, let's say, I like to say 20 years later. So 1915. So there is a chance that this could be her grandfather or great grandfather. I forget exactly what they said, nor does it matter. So what I do love is his voice. It's very much like, well, Hotlayer. Oh, I can't even do it. It's like, whoa, Hotlayer. I can't do it. But Billy West does a version of this voice in that Disenchanted show. Well, the elves kind of talks like this. And I love it. And it's definitely, you know, mocking like a classic actor. I can't figure out what it is, but I love that voice. It cracks me up every time. So we see the grandmother. I'm going to say the great-grandmother, the great-grandfather. And they are young and happy and building a farm. And then this giant woman shows up and she's like, "How you doing?" And her name is Hepzibah. Hepzibah, the sister of Thaddeus. We already know Thaddeus Tannen. Now we see Hepzibah and we find out that this is that she's actually a Tannen too. She gets horned up for Marty right away. She's like, "I like you and I'm going to take you home with me." So Marty, they start hanging out with the people. Marty starts, I know what happens. Marty helps them raise a barn, but then lets go when he sees Hepzibah, or whatever the hell her name is, which I'm sure is some Hepzibah, which I'm sure is some Greek or, you know, something. I'm sure it's a name based on something. The barn almost falls on her. Marty actually gets squished by the barn. He should be dead, but it's a cartoon, so luckily the logic is he's literally flattened. She takes him back to his house, her house, to nurse him back to health. It very much should have been like, "Where am I?" "Oh, you're safe back in 1875 in Hepzibah's house," or Hepzibah, whatever. But we didn't get that. Instead, he wakes up in the cabin, freaks out, and she's in love with him. She's like, "I love you." All of a sudden, Thaddeus Tannen comes back, and he's like angry about something. We meet him. This is a Tannen from the Old West, but it's before Mad Dog. It's not Mad Dog. It's only 8 years before. Wait a minute. It's only 1885. This is 10 years before. So this dude is definitely related to Mad Dog. Mad Dog somewhere. This could be Mad Dog's brother. They don't mention Buford, I don't think, at all. But it's still the same hill valley. So Tannens are really troubled. You know, the fact that they chose 1875. Okay, fine. So he's like, "What's this scrawny runt?" And, you know, he's like, "You should marry her." So he goes, "Let's get you. Oh, look, I don't know how this happened." He goes, "You're going to join my gang." And all of a sudden, he's got to fight this big giant guy named Ox, who is like a giant of a man with a big bald head. But he talks kind of dopey, and he's friendly. He's like, "Hi, nice to meet you." He's actually sweet, but he's huge. And he goes to box Marty. But before Marty can even box him, Hepzibah knocks him out of the ring with a broom. I don't know. That doesn't matter. And he starts going on robberies with them. And he doesn't like what he's doing, but he's trying to stick close to him so that he can make sure they don't sign the deed. Now there's a wanted poster for Marty with the gang as well. And all of a sudden, there's a bank robbery, but Marty helps them so they don't rob the bank. We cut over and Marty's hanging out with the gang. He doesn't like it very much, but all of a sudden they decide they're going to get married. He's going to marry the sister. So they're like, "Let's get we'll get a preacher. We'll do everything." And Marty goes on a picnic with her and he's like, "Wait, I haven't got you a engagement ring. I'll be right back." She's like, "Don't buy it, steal it." He rides off because he's really just trying to stop Thaddeus from getting the deed from the Parkers. Turns out he gets there just in time for the Parkers to be forced to sign this deed. He shows up that one of the Parkers, Wendell Randall, who cares, is tied up. The grandmother's tied up on railroad tracks, and the big giant bully has Jules and Vern. They get away, and Marty's like, "Fine, you want to sign here? Use my pen." So he uses his pen. The guy signs away his deed, and it's like, "Damn it! This, you know, he actually did it." But remember what Marty had for a pen, right? Mm-hmm. So he signs the deed. He leaves them, but he doesn't take the grandmother off the railroad tracks. So luckily, there's a train approaching. It was there to just swindle Thaddeus Tannen, I don't know why, to trick him to speed up, I guess. And it was really the kids on their train, time travel. So they disappear. They come back on the other side of the woman. They don't accidentally run over their great-great-grandmother. And they let her go. And they go, "Don't worry about the deed. It's going to be just fine." And now we cut over and Tannen is getting arrested. the sheriff shows up with his posse and the sister and Ox, the big guy in the gang. Turns out they're turning legit and they turned him in. So he runs in the backyard really quick and buries the deed. Okay, so that's why the deed was buried, and that's why no one ever picked up on it, because he must have gone to prison. He probably either got, you know, scarlet fever, or he was shanked in prison, something. He dies. He never comes back. He never gets to get the deed. So it stays hidden for all these years. We cut back to 1992. Marty shows right back up with the, you know, flies in on a skateboard again. Nobody bats an eye at that. He jumps in front of the bulldozer and said, "Stop." And he goes, "You can't stop. I have this deed." Biff pulls out the deed. He goes, "Look, there it is. And it's signed." And then the ink disappears. And Biff's like, "What? What's this about?" And the sheriff's like, "Sorry, I can't do anything about it. I guess I'm going to have to write a citation for disturbing the peace." And the bulldozer is going to charge him $50, $500. And he's like, "This is coming out of your allowance." He yells at his kid, and the Tannins take off. And then Jennifer's like, "Oh, Marty, I don't know how you did it, but you did it." He goes, "Great, yeah, wonderful. I can't believe some pen this was. It took 100 years for the ink to disappear." The end. So my thinking is, it took 100 years for the ink to disappear? Oh, I guess that's what they're saying. What should have happened is the ink should have disappeared like within a few minutes, and then none of this would have happened, because the deed would have been found. It would have been unsigned. But okay, I guess they're saying the ink lasted all that time and then disappeared. I mean, Marty could have just walked up and ripped the deed up, but the sheriff would have seen that, I guess. I don't know. Much better than the last episode. The time travel actually made sense. Marty got there, got to use something he was using at the beginning, the disappearing ink, to come through. In the end, it was what do they call that? Chekhov's disappearing ink. They actually used that at the end. Then the deed being buried, that came back. So there was some logical stuff written into the plot, which doesn't happen a lot in this series. And I think just added to the fact that this episode is a much, much better, much improvement on the previous episode. So that's it. That's the end of that. When we jump back to Doc, and he's still working on finding stuff. He found a pen. With the sand, what the hell is it called? Metal detector. You know, I bought my wife a metal detector. She was like, "I want a metal detector. I want a metal detector. Oh, I would love to do that." She likes seeing people at the beach use it. That'd be fun. I bought her a metal detector. If I count on my fingers the amount of times that she's used that metal detector, I would count zero. So I can't even do that. It's somewhere in the basement. I think my uncle used it more than she has. So there's treasure out there. But we haven't found it. So Doc found a pen. He goes, "I wonder if this is a real pen or a fountain pen. It's not working. Oh, so either it's empty or it's disappearing ink." He sprays his face with the ink. He goes, "Oh, it must be disappearing ink." Then he goes, "You can make your own disappearing ink." And now we jump over to Mr. Wizard, the real Mr. Wizard himself, Bill Nye. Well, not Mr. Wizard. You know what I mean. Bill Nye, science guy, who then shows you how to make disappearing ink with lemons. You use lemon juice and you write on something. So it's not disappearing ink. It's invisible ink. Meaning he writes on it and it's empty. It's you know, clear. Then you can write on a real pen, a fake note. Then get your family to get a friggin' iron without steam and iron on the piece of paper. So really a lot of steps involved just to, get this disappearing ink. And the note says, "Meet me at the mall at 4 p.m. So really, that's the secret note that you have to do. It was a cool little thing just to show how lemon juice can make disappearing ink. And Bill Nye has another thing that says science is cool. He holds that up. So not bad, because it does tie back into the episode and the disappearing ink. This one's the invisible ink. So not quite the exact same thing, but close enough. Again, this isn't high art. This isn't even like mid art, but it's okay. And it's a big improvement of yesterday's episode. I will say that. So we cut back to Doc Brown. He goes, "You can also take those lemons and make nice lemonade." He's got a big glass of lemonade. And then finally, he looks down in the sand and he found the car keys to the DeLorean. He's been missing them for a week. So he can finally get home. see you in the future. And then boom, he heads off. And that's the end of this episode. Again, no Biff joke at the end. That's over with. That was last season. And yeah, that's the second episode of this second season. No, the third episode of the second season. My goodness gracious. And yeah, 20 days in the books. Coming up this week, we're going to be doing more animated episodes. I still have more comics to talk about. I still have something else, a couple other little surprises to talk about. So there might be some doubling up episodes. I do have some, I've got to schedule it time for Jay and Eric. I believe Eric is scheduled. I'm going to message Jason today to try to schedule a time with him to talk some Back to the Future animated series. So that's it. I'm done. Find fansnotexperts.com. Wait, what? Find Movies, Find Spirits. Check out that podcast if you want to hear three guys kind of, you know, harshly, they yell at each other. They make fun of each other, but they also talk about movies they love. And we'll be doing Back to the Future. That's the next episode. We're recording it tomorrow night. I'm very pumped about that. Go to fansnotexperts.com to find every episode of this podcast. Fans Not Experts on YouTube. And you can find me on all the socials at Geek Mentality. That's Mastodon.social, Blue Sky, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. And the Facebook page is Fans Not Experts. I don't use it a lot, but if you're on there, you give it a like, I would appreciate it. I will see you tomorrow. Have a great day. I can't believe I got this done before work. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I got to go work now. And here is my theme song. Let's do that again. Edit. Have a wonderful day. I got to go to work now. So thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'll see you tomorrow. And here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. 'Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.